T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So the regrettable notion was that we had upset our fans. I didn't think at that time, while we were saying we regretted upsetting our fans, that also at the same time supporting Daryl Morey's right to express himself, right to tweet. Obviously, we made clear that we were being asked to fire him by the Chinese government, by the parties we dealt with, government and business. We said there's no chance that's happening.
What a joke. What a complete joke. I mean,
what do you mean?
The Chinese want him fired.
He said no.
Because that's what they do in communist China. If you say something, you're gone.
He said no.
You're lucky if you only get fired. It could be a lot worse. Ben Volen. Trollin' Volen is in the studio with us from the Boston Globe. Good to see you.
What's up, boys? Am I on?
Somewhat. Mike, are we good?
As you're going to find out here, Ben, some stuff works and some stuff does not
work. Yeah, we're still kind of rebooting.
Yeah, we're having some issues here. And
I don't think Ben likes the name Trollin' Volen.
Are we good now? How about now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Are we here?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Trollin' Volen, hey, bring it on. I
like that.
Whatever.
I like that.
Yeah, but all good publicity is good publicity.
Absolutely. That's a good Monica. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know, but maybe you're just deep down inside, you just wish people wouldn't use it.
No, I'm good with it.
Who gave you that name?
I like being the villain here.
Bedard.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of happened organically, the whole rhyming thing. I don't know who originally.
The whole rhyming thing?
Yeah. I mean, Twitter, probably. Someone on Twitter.
Do you have an issue here with Bedard? Because you tweeted this out. Said it this morning on WEEI, Bennett for Amendola. And I heard the interview with Greg, and he was just asking you the question, and you answered it. Bennett for Amendola makes a lot of sense for both sides. And you kind of went, yeah, it makes some sense. And then apparently some people were out there tweeting it back to Bedard, and Bedard was a little bit pissed off, mentioned it on the radio Tuesday, said the chances are minor, which most trades are. What's your point, Volen burner account?
Oh, so
do you have burner accounts?
Yeah, just to sling some arrows at Greg Bedard.
Nice.
That's what it is.
Yeah, obviously.
You're too scared to kind of go directly at him, right?
Well, he's like a foot taller than me, too.
He's a big dude.
Have you ever seen Greg?
Yeah, but you could go ahead. We talked about that earlier.
Big guys can't move.
Nah. Greg and I go way back. We used to work together. I was an intern in Palm Beach, and he was the Dolphins writer down there.
Really?
So, yeah, Greg and I go back a long way.
So you looked up to him. He was like a mentor to you.
Exactly, and it's like Batman, where like now we're, you know, arch enemy. No, not at all. I think Greg's great, and I wish him all the best in Vegas. So if we're
he's
fighting
not going to Vegas, though. He's staying here.
He
though.
Is,
he's
yeah.
Right in Vegas.
Boston-based Vegas
what
reporter.
Business
wait,
you
hold
guys
on, hold
have
on.
Now?
Boston-based Vegas reporter for the Knights, the Raiders.
For the Raiders, yeah.
And it's going to be NBA team that'll be there?
No, just the Raiders.
I give Greg all the credit in the world. He convinced his bosses to make it work. So.
Wouldn't you want to live in Vegas, though? I feel like I'd really want that opportunity to work in Vegas. Yeah, I'm doing all my work from the Hard Rock Pool here.
I would just think the cost of living. You could buy a sick house out there for like 600
exactly.
grand probably.
And
you know?
You could have your office at one of these pools during the summer and just kind of get distracted all day.
I've long tried to be here.
Like, yeah, but nothing happens
let
here.
Let me sit by the pool in February and make
no,
my phone calls
your
there.
Business. Our business is the same way. We could do a show where three of us are doing it from home and you wouldn't know the difference.
We've asked for
you
that.
We asked for it.
You wouldn't have this incredible chemistry that you guys have.
Yeah, no, I think we'd be
have
fine.
It. We'd be fine. We'd
yeah,
be fine.
I'd be fine with it. Actually, yeah, I encourage it, actually.
I would, too.
The less Glenn, the better.
Exactly. I would encourage it. All right, so you just heard, and we said you could talk about a bunch of stuff, and we're going to get to football in a
you
second.
You can talk about a bunch of stuff.
I promise. But this is a breaking story right now, in that the commissioner's standing up, and he's basically saying, okay, and I got to give him an awful lot of credit. I joke an awful lot about him because I think he got far too much credit for unloading a racist owner when the league knew for 30 years he was racist. So they finally found somebody in Steve Ballmer who was willing to pay $2.5 billion. So it's easy to unload the racist when you got somebody who's going to come in with $2.5 billion of cash.
Sure.
So it was not that big a deal, but he got a lot of credit for it, and everybody loved him. He could do no wrong from that point on. I really think after the initial reaction he had, he has really handled this well. He basically said, I understand the Chinese being upset. We love the Chinese people. We love doing business with them. We love the mutual interest. On the other hand, I'm also going to give my guy, a general manager of one of my franchises, the opportunity to have his freedom of speech. And I thought he handled it perfectly right. Did he not?
So I think he's handled it pretty well, and certainly better than I think the NFL would have handled something like this. But, you know, why is he only coming out with this now that he's supporting Daryl Morey? What about a week ago?
No, the first day was awful. He was terrible the first day because he didn't know what he was doing the first day.
Now that they're out of China, and now that some time has passed, he's free to come out.
He wasn't in China, though. He was in Japan when all that stuff came down. And you're right. The first day, we sat here and blasted him. We said, what are you doing?
Why now are they revealing that China asked Daryl Morey to be fired? It's like now there's been safe enough distance from the event. They're out of China. The NBA is back home. And now it seems like image rehab a little bit. Well, actually, we're standing behind Daryl Morey because that's what, the people want us to do. It would have been nice to hear that right away when the Chinese government actually made that request probably a week ago.
No, he was awful when he first came out that first day. We blasted him. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but, they still had players in China, and you got to think about their safety, staying at the Ritz. They may be in lockdown. I mean, come on. I mean, that, to me, is the stupidest thing I ever heard.
I agree.
Are you going to take the entire NBA, all their passports, and not let them fly out of the country because they think democracy is good and communism sucks? Is that what we're going to do?
I would think this episode, though, is a real eye-opener for, the NFL, which is trying to make significant inroads in China. And Tom Brady, it was only a couple weeks ago, he wore the Patriots T-shirt to his press conference in Chinese. They're really reaching out to that market. But
he wants that Chinese money. That's a South Park episode.
Well,
good luck with the NFL with this one.
There are significant strings attached now when you do business in China, and I think these sports leagues are realizing this. And there's a lot of money to be made, but you have to kowtow to the Chinese, and it puts you in some compromising situations.
Yeah, but I don't know why you should do that. So if it's a business arrangement with the Chinese, it should be okay. We understand. We have a much different economic system. We have a much different overall system in how we deal with people and the freedom that our people have. So we have mutual interest, whether it be basketball or football. So let's link up together with our mutual interest. The other aspect of it, you must understand that our values are not the same. They're not even similar. And so, therefore, our people are going to talk openly about police brutality, about stuff that's going on in Hong Kong, stuff that's going on in their own nation, stuff that's going on in the world. You guys just have to understand that's part of the deal. If you want to do it, it's part of the deal.
Or is it the other way around? The part of the deal is if you want to do business with China, you don't talk about protests in Hong Kong. You don't talk about dissent. That's what I'm saying. If you're the NFL or the NBA, you're making a lot of money over in China, but there's a lot of strings attached now, and you're getting in bed business-wise with people, who make significant human rights violations.
Okay, then I would say if that's going to be the case, the commissioner's got set new standards for the league. Fellas, I know you want to talk about stuff. You can't talk about stuff anymore. We're not going to talk about stuff because you look like a total hypocrite when you sit here and talk about something that's happening on the streets of the United States, and then you're totally ignoring and taking all of the money from these Chinese people, some of them who are taking beatings over there, all right? You're taking all their money. We can't do that. We got to have standards here.
Well, there's no question that LeBron is taking just a huge beating this week. Just I can't remember.
Is it deserved?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's just coming off as such a fraud. And it's similar to the Colin Kaepernick situation. I always said Kaepernick was like the wrong person leading the right protest, like bringing awareness to civil rights violations, especially against African Americans and minorities, is of course an important thing. But Kaepernick didn't always realize the weight of what, wearing the Fidel Castro shirt and not understanding who Fidel Castro was. Whereas LeBron is, sure, he was saying all the right things when it came to national anthem protests and protesting, the guy in the White House. But when it comes to China and human rights violations, he just says, shut up, we're all here to make money. So he seems like the wrong guy leading the right protest.
Here's the other problem with Kaepernick. Because Kaepernick's not a good enough player to get around it. Now, maybe that played in to his cause, because people looked at it and said, he's being blackballed. And I truly believe he was blackballed. He was blackballed, but he wasn't a star player. If he was a star player, I'm not sure 32 teams would have passed on him. and blackballed him out of the league. Since he's a backup quarterback, it's easy to blackball a backup quarterback because I don't want the attention on Wednesdays when the media is coming in to talk to players, talking to our backup quarterback. So in that respect, I agree with you. Wrong guy. If it were Tom Brady, if it were Aaron Rodgers, if it
it's
were
usually it's like it's,
Aaron Donald,
well, not even wrong guy though, yeah, because he wasn't a superstar. Just because he wasn't as principled as you thought he would be. If LeBron were truly principled, he would have spoken out against the Chinese reaction to Daryl Morey. But instead, he came out and ripped Daryl Morey instead and kind of came off as a fraud. So he's the wrong person. Kaepernick was the wrong person, not because he wasn't a star player, but because he just wasn't as principled as he should have been.
Yeah, and that's why when LeBron James says he's not going to talk about it anymore, it's the best decision he's made in the last 2 weeks. Because he's not going to be able to catch up to what the real issues are. You want to really find out what's really going on? Okay, you can't stay at the Ritz. You got to leave, put your boots on the ground, and go into the deep, deep forest to find out what's really going on. Then you'll get a better understanding. So listening to sound clips or sound bites from, you know, other people in China talking about it, looking up stuff on the internet, and he doesn't have time for that. I don't see why anyone would expect him to. Why would they expect him to? Like, he has some, like, you know, this goal to, like, change the world. He's not digging wells. He's not opening hospitals in China. He's doing stuff locally, but you, Glenn, rip him for doing that.
No, I don't rip him for doing that. I rip him.
Oh, sorry. Expose him for not doing enough or claiming that he does more when he really doesn't.
Well, no. Who's the football player? The old Atlanta Falcons player. Is it Warren Dunn who's out there?
Warren Dunn.
Who's out there, you know, basically paying out of his own pocket. He's building houses for people, right? Wasn't it Deshaun Watson? Wasn't he one of the recipients? His family was one of the recipients of one of those homes. And look at what it's done to Deshaun Watson. What I'm saying is he's doing it with all of his money. LeBron's taking all the credit for the schools. That is a public school out there in Ohio and Akron, a public school. He provided some money to help them put them over the edge, and the scholarships are being provided by the University of Akron. It's not being provided by the LeBron James Foundation. But I'm not trying to rip LeBron because he's done a lot of good things. I'm just saying he's a complete hypocrite here.
No, he doesn't look good.
Complete hypocrite. And the fact is I've never seen an issue now where both sides of the aisle are more united in this one. Really are. I mean, he's getting beaten up by very liberal, prominent liberal people out there.
Yeah, he doesn't realize that he's choosing money and business interests over civil rights. He just doesn't realize that that's basically what it boils down to. And it's easy for him to speak out against the national, or in favor of the national anthem protest when it doesn't affect his bottom line. Now he's in the spotlight. It's time for him to have an issue that's going to affect him personally. And he totally whiffed. He chose, you know, telling Daryl Morey, I wish you could have waited a week before. I mean, it's a civil rights thing. I mean, it was a terrible
look. It looks so bad.
That's a bad look. All right, let me take a couple phone calls, and then we'll get into some football stuff. This is John. He's down on the Cape. Hi, John. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Calling from the car here. First of all, first-time caller. Love the show. Just a couple quick points. First of all, I know we've been jumping on LeBron James and sell out, and obviously my point there is, first and foremost, you know, if you're not really educated on international affairs, as I don't think any of us can profess to be, it might be a little hard to demand that he comments on that. Now, quick, Muhammad Ali has come up, right? So Muhammad Ali didn't want to go fight in Vietnam. I think the reason there is because he felt that he was more vested in committing his time, effort, and knowledge to fighting inequality in America. I also think that's something that you could potentially say is fair of LeBron James.
But it was also
that was a religious objection. But if you recall, one of his points was the Vietnamese have never committed any acts of inequality against me. So, you know, and I get where you're coming from. So just a loose, quick association. I'm not trying to say that.
No. My point where people have been trying to compare LeBron James to Muhammad Ali is LeBron James has really given up nothing. Matter of fact, in the stance he's taken here in the United States, I think it's helped his profile and probably brought more money his way. Muhammad Ali put it all out on the line. He lost his job. Okay? He lost years to going out there and fighting. He lost an awful lot.
And
later
fair,
on in life, people realized how right he was.
That's fair that he lost a lot. I think that that's a stance that is taken with the perspective of looking back in history. I don't think anybody at the time would have thought Muhammad Ali was losing anything. I think a lot of people in America particularly would have thought he was getting what he deserved. Now, with time, we look back and say, wow, how courageous that he made those decisions.
Okay, that's,
but I didn't want to get lost in the weeds on that.
Okay, but that's principle, though. Muhammad Ali stood up for his principle. The problem I have in trying to compare LeBron James is LeBron James is chastising somebody here in the United States who works in a different NBA team for actually speaking his free mind. And he's chastising him because it's costing him money. It's not about principle. It's all about money for LeBron. For Muhammad Ali, it was all about principle. He lost money, right? He lost money in the deal.
Lost a big chunk of years in his career,
all right,
too.
We're going to get into some football with Trolin Volin in the studio with us at 617-779-7937. No Lou today, but we've got Trolin Volin.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
This offense, as it's currently constructed, I believe, is not good enough to win the AFC. When they play real teams, they're going to get exposed, and it will happen sooner than later. They're going to start facing Kansas City and Houston and the Eagles and Dallas and real competitive. And even this Monday against the Jets, I think, is going to be a good test. You know, that's not the easiest environment for them to go in. It could be a grind. So I think they need to make some moves, and the way that this offense is built right now, I just don't think they have what it takes to win the AFC.
That is Ben Volin. He said it yesterday, Wednesday, on the Greg Hill Show, mornings here on WEEI. And I hate to say it, I may get condemned about this, but I actually agree with most of what he just said right there, and it worries me. What was your line yesterday about the offense? You called the offense terrible.
No, I think they're terrible. And I just think that you were on to it, but I think maybe you used the wrong phrase or the wrong word, because we already know they have been exposed. They suck. They're not any good. But what I would like to add is that someone will finally take advantage of it, because we know that their offense isn't any good. They've shown us the last 3 weeks against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They couldn't move the football. That first half was one of the worst I've ever seen from a Patriots team, offensive team. So yeah, I feel like they've already been exposed. But will the Jets take advantage of it? Will the Jets take advantage of the fact that they can't run the ball, that they can't complete a third down, that Brady misses the receiver, or the young guys don't know what to do? We'll see. Because their defense, the Jets' defense, I think is a ton better. Could be the second best defense they face this year. And we'll see if their offense can do it 2 weeks in a row.
And Darnold is just so much better. I mean, the game instantly changes when you put Darnold in as opposed to Luke Falk. I mean, the Patriots have really been lucky that they've played so many bad quarterbacks and their defense is playing so well. It's really masked, I think, some significant deficiencies on the offensive side of the ball. They haven't played a complete team yet. They haven't played a team that can actually play offense and defense. And, you know, these games are coming now, and I think the Jets actually are going to be their first opponent. It's going to be a competitive game on Monday night, and Sam Darnold, he can, you know, he can hit Crowder and Robbie Anderson for 40, 50-yard gains. And these guys, they can play a clean game where they only turn the ball over one time and only take
and
one
that's
sack.
It. And, to me, that's it. That is the magic pill. Hey, guys, just don't turn it over. What's the one thing that all these other teams have in common? They've all turned it over multiple times, not only just on from their offense and their quarterback, but on special teams, non-offensive touchdowns. If you just do that and you're playing at home, you'll be in it at the end. Whether you win or not, it'll be up to you.
I hate to say that's the one thing you've got going for you in this offense, because I agree with all of this, is that Brady is usually pretty safe with the ball. He does not give up the ball much during the course of the game. Because if you had a quarterback that did turn the ball over a little bit, you'd really be screwed. I mean, Teddy Bruschi said this last week with us. He said, you're living dangerously if you're expecting, you know, your special teams and defense to keep on scoring every single week.
Except for the two interceptions he's thrown in the end zone.
In the red zone, right?
Yeah. So, he's only got, I think, three picks, and two of them are in the end zone. But I've gotten a lot of pushback from people, of course, saying, you know, I'm crazy. The Patriots are still winning by 21 points a game.
Well, you know why, though? Because they've seen in the past, and it, you're getting it from the people that defend the wall, they've seen this in the past. How many times have we said there's a hole in the Patriots game? Usually it's the defense, right?
Sure.
We look at the defense and we say, oh, my God, they can put 35 points on the board. Problem is they can give up 40 if they go to Kansas City. And so what's happened now is people are it's drilled into their head. They're going to figure a way.
That's why.
But what's the way?
Well, see, that's why I think it's confusing, or it's almost like a Jedi mind trick. Because I feel like I can see through it. I feel like it's, what is everybody else looking at? I know they look at the end score, but you sit there and go, does anybody other than Edelman and Brady scare you at all? Anyone? Any offensive lineman? Any tight ends? Any other receiver other than Edelman or Brady? I don't know who it is.
I heard Peter King on the afternoon show today saying, or on the midday show, that Patriots had the worst skill positions in the NFL last weekend. And now I think he was talking about because Gordon was out, because Dorsett was out. But I think, you know, all this talk about they didn't need Antonio Brown, they desperately needed him
because of
depth. They don't have great depth at the wide receiver or tight end right now. And after Edelman, as you said, Christian, they don't have a lot right now. And, you know, I was looking at the numbers. The Patriots are number one in the NFL in scoring, so you know, everything's great, of course, right? But like on a per drive basis, they're only 10th touchdowns per drive, and they're only 15th in the NFL in scores per drive. So they're really middle of the pack in terms of the number of opportunities they're getting. They have the third best starting field position in the NFL because of all the turnovers. They lead the league in the turnovers, so they're getting all these extra possessions, but they're not putting up the points, and they've been relying on defense and special teams. And that's great. I mean, it's of course you want your defense and special teams to score, but you can't rely on that week in and week out.
Yeah, but I could make the argument, as good as the defense is right now, and I think the defense is legit. You think it's legit?
Yeah, but I would say they haven't been tested, and
okay,
the numbers
fair.
Are going to come, you know, slide back. They're not going to be stopping or holding teams to 13% on third down all year.
I agree, but if they can hold teams to 15, 17, 18 points, can they win football games? Hopefully the offense can give you enough. But I think even those numbers are deceiving. As low as the numbers are with 6 points per game or 6.8 against, they've had offense gave away a couple with turnovers, and special teams gave one away. So you look at the real numbers, they're less than that.
Oh, it's been crazy. But then the other numbers I look at is they've played five of the six worst offenses in the NFL. They have played a bunch of turds. It's, you know, Daniel Jones last week was probably the best quarterback they faced, and Sam Darnold this week is probably the same thing, probably the best quarterback they faced all year. Even Roethlisberger, his elbow must have been shredded by the time when they played that game, because he had hurt it in a non-contact injury the next week. And they've just, you know, had a very lucky stretch where they played a bunch of nobodies at quarterback. And, you know, what's great is that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. You saw the Chargers last week play a third-string quarterback at home against the Steelers, and just it looked embarrassing and gave up 24 points to the Steelers and lost. So the Patriots at least are not doing that. They're at least taking care of business and just, you know, pulverizing these quarterbacks into the ground. But they haven't been tested, and you got to assume when they play Mahomes, Watson, some of these much better quarterbacks, that the numbers, you know, the defense isn't going to be quite as dominant.
So you end up going back to the way it used to be. I'll take you back, way back to 2001, 2003, 2004. Yeah, we'll call it the glory days. where complimentary football, that phrase was used all the time.
I think we used to call Brady the manager, game manager.
Just don't mess it up. You know, you're getting help from your special teams. Like, everybody was chipping in. Special teams was chipping in. Offense was chipping in. And nobody was doing anything to hurt themselves. So you just play clean. You play smart. You play physical. And you keep it close. And then wait for them to crack under the pressure. Wait for that coach or that quarterback to make a dumb mistake. You go back to some of that whole winning streak back in 03. There were no blowouts. They weren't blowing teams out. We were winning close games. We were winning dogfights, but we were always making one key play here or there, and that made the biggest difference in the game. It wasn't, you know, 35 points a game. It was competitive.
Yeah, but you're getting the blowouts right now, and I agree with Ben on this one because of the competition you're playing. Do you believe they're going to blow out Houston? They're going to blow out Kansas City? They're going to blow out Baltimore? I'm not sure that's the case. I think you're going to get into those games that you're talking about, and I think Monday night might be one of them, where you're coming down to one crucial play, one crucial series that decides the game.
See, that's what I say. Even despite their offense, how bad it is, I do think they will get better. They will be respectable by the time the season ends. I don't know if they'll be able to run the ball like they did last year, but they'll figure it out. I still think they end up going to the Super Bowl. Whether they win or not, I don't know. But based on the way they're built now, I don't see it being something that they can't overcome.
How do they get better, man?
To me, it's all about Dante Scarnecchia. Can he coach up Newhouse and Ted Karras to where they're
Newhouse
starter capable type of?
You think Newhouse is fixable?
You know, the issues with him right now have been like communication. Like, I remember in Washington, they ran like a little game at him and Mason and or him and Tooney, and they picked up the wrong guy and they got a free shot at the quarterback. So, can you coach that up? Yes. Can you coach him to be some road grader in the run game and to be as good as Trent Brown? Probably not.
You know, because I sit there and I look back at the other tackles that they've had in the past. None of them were great. Brandon Gorin, Tom Ashworth. I mean, there's more. You always had Matt Light on the left, and then you had Solder. But there were always, especially on that right side, they were just guys. I mean, they weren't anything special. You know, but the scheme, you know, Bill's ability to coach and, you know, Tom getting rid of the football and that whole philosophy helped them. I just, when I look at it, and I love that the stats you bring up, because I almost compare it to a couple years ago with the Patriots defense, where they gave up a lot of yards, but they didn't give up any touchdowns. They didn't. It's like
bend
the Packers,
but don't break. Remember like the old bend, but don't break.
The Packers and the Detroit Lions play a game, and the Detroit Lions were beating the crap out of them, and they should have won the game, but they couldn't finish any drives. They couldn't get points. They kept settling for field goals. Sure enough, the Packers hang around. They hang around. They get a couple breaks. And next thing you know, they win the game. And the Lions are sitting there going, what the hell just happened? Right? What the hell happened?
Yeah, I hate all the whining about the officiating the other night because it's the Lions' fault for even letting that happen. You can't let a team hang around. Bad calls are inevitably going to happen in games. It's the Lions' fault
for not
finishing off the Packers. They had so many opportunities to go ahead by two scores, three scores. All those field goals, the stupid 12 men on the field penalty that gave the Packers their first touchdown.
The Packers had 13 and they didn't get called.
Well, I saw
they
that
did blow that.
So, yeah. I saw that tweet because you mentioned that. I was like, was it the officials' fault that they settled for five field goals?
Exactly.
So if you're the Lions, are you going to sit there and use the refs as an excuse? Or are you going to say Hawkinson should have caught that pass? They should have made a better call. They should have called a timeout sooner. No. You allowed yourself to be put in that stupid situation because you couldn't finish.
So here's what we were talking about yesterday, because I agree with you about Antonio Brown. I think they panicked. I think they looked at those texts, and it probably was Kraft looking at the sensitivity of what people were, you know, pairing him back to Jupiter,
Florida.
Well,
and the deadline was ticking to pay him that $5 million
correct,
on that Monday.
Correct. So. That's right.
It was crunch time.
Right. And so they kind of overreacted to it, okay? And now they're looking at it saying, oh, my God, we were talking about this before you got here. They could use Demaryius Thomas right now, could they not? Well, he's not here because AB came here. They needed him. And then you don't have the money because you're holding $5 million right now in escrow for AB and cap money. You can't go out and get a top-flight receiver. So don't you have to look at the running game right now and try to find a way to run the football? Because if you do that, you slow the pace down, and your defense really becomes a bigger part of the outcomes of games.
Well, what I was thinking about this before, what I find interesting right now is we always praise the Patriots. They craft their their game plan around their personnel. They put the guys in the best situations, and they coach to what they have, and they don't force square pegs into round holes. They seem pretty committed to trying to recreate what they had last season with the power run game. It's because like they lose James Zevlin, they bring up another fullback. They lose this other kid, they sign this Tomlinson guy to be another fullback. They are dead set on trying to be this I formation power run team, and it's not working for them. Another good stat I looked up. They are fifth worst in the NFL on first and 10 rushing. So they're rushing the ball 54% of the time on first and 10, and they're only averaging like 3.6 yards per carry.
So they got
fifth
away,
worst in the NFL.
So they got away with it. They got away with it in the first few weeks because play action teams were still they weren't buying it. Okay, they were selling into it. They can't sell that right now.
Well, hold on, but Ben, but think about this. So, but do you think that it's so? If you're looking, let's say you're deficient offensively, and you want to throw the ball, but God, you can't find any skill position players. So I almost feel like it's because I noticed that yesterday, the other day, when they brought in all these fullbacks for a tryout, it seems like it's easier to build that than it would be, fast, shifty receivers who need to figure out how to run the offense. So I can find a fullback to go iso block some guy, but I cannot find any slot receivers, Zs, Xs. I can't find any of these guys.
Yeah, and I guess even with the third string fullback, they're not going to play him 30 snaps in a game. It'll be spot duty, and you're probably not going to use Sony Michel as much. But don't you still think the strength of this team right now, you get Edelman out there, White, Burkhead, all these little guys, Tom Brady, shotgun spread, and just a lot of quick passes. Isn't that the strength of the offense?
Ultimately,
right now?
That is, I guess, your default setting. I think last year they had one of the best offensive lines, and they said, let's take advantage of it. And I think it played to who they knew they were going to be playing against, the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, listen, if we're going to have to beat them because we can't – eventually I think the Chiefs – like if they would have gotten the ball back, if the Chiefs get the coin toss in that AFC Championship game, I mean, the Patriots lose that game.
Yeah.
Because nobody was stopping them. Yeah. And then same with the Patriots.
No, maybe the running game is exactly that, little sideline stuff to Edelman, little sideline stuff to White, and that becomes your running game one-on-one.
Well, it's not Sony Michel right now, I'll tell you that much. Apparently he can only get the yards that are blocked for him, and he can't run without a fullback clearing the way for him. And I don't know, just not what you would expect from a first round.
All right, we're pissing a lot of people off. This is negative Patriots talk or whatever.
Is that what it is?
No, I think it's reality. I really think it's reality, and I think people are being a little bit fooled. Nobody's saying anything negative about the defense. To me, this is the best defensive team in the National Football League, and I don't think that's going to change between now and the end of the year. I think in the end of the year, we're going to be talking about them as the best. The offense you got to be concerned with. All right, we get to your phone calls coming up next, 617-779-7937. No Lou today. Ben Volin's in for an hour.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, back here on OMF. Ben Bolin sitting in for the hour. We got no Lou today. He'll be back tomorrow. Let's get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Here's Tom in Nashville. Hey, Tom.
I'm glad I got a real beef with Christian here, saying Julian and Tom Brady are the only offensive threats. Kind of forgetting about James White. He's been the number one receiving back in the NFL since 2015 with most yards and most touchdown catches. So I don't see how he's not a threat.
No, he is. You're right. I probably left, but I still don't think that he's – as far as guys that when you're really – okay, look, a lot of angle routes, wheel routes. But the most dangerous guys –
game plan for James White?
You know, I think they do. But as far as guys where I'm sitting there going, I can't stop Julian Edelman. I have a hard time, but I think you can take James White. I think you can take James White out of the game.
When it's third and six, James White will run 7 yards, turn around, catch the ball, dive forward, get the first down. Like, he is sure-handed. He's always in the right spot.
Show me the game that they stopped him. Show me the game that.
Well, he's best when he's your third or fourth option. When he's your second option and defenses can put more resources to stopping him, he's not an elite ball carrier. He doesn't break a ton of tackles. He's just a really smart, heady player.
No, I think he's good. You're right. It's not like I forgot about him, but when I'm talking about offensive weapons, I always add the backs last. I don't say James White, Rex Burkhead. I'll say receiver, Josh Gordon, because those are the main guys that really run the offense. James White's a good player, but there's a bunch of backs that if they were in this system, how many James Whites have there been in this offense?
Yeah.
How far back do we need to go?
You go quite a ways.
I mean, and then there's a ton of them. Every single one is just as good as the other.
I think Kevin Falk, Burkhead, to the list of them. Burkhead's even a tougher mismatch and I think a better playmaker, all things considered, than James White.
But I think Burkhead's his health has been a problem. Health has been a problem.
He's always banged up, but I think Burkhead is a tougher cover for the defense.
You sound like me. See, I think he's their best back.
Yeah.
Period. As far as his ability to run the ball, to catch the ball, where he can line up as a receiver. But you're right. He's just, it's almost, what a waste. What a waste because he's not available.
But
when you're looking at what receiver can get separation when you really need it, when they're putting pressure and Brady needs to unload the ball quickly. We even saw it last week when they lost Josh Gordon. Edelman still was able to get separation on a double team, still able to find some space. How is that? Nobody else can do that, and you need somebody else to be able to go to in a pinch if you need to unload the ball quickly.
They can't cover me.
Adam's in a car. Adam.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good, Adam.
Hey, so I wanted, I'm sorry, Christian, but I'm going to come right back at you with it because you had mentioned the 2003 Patriots. So who started on offense, like in the Patriots, right? They had Brady, they had Branch, they had Brown. They had a great, offensive line. But, and they had a mediocre tight end. But,
That was easy.
But the defense was lights out, though.
I never said they weren't lights out. I wouldn't say.
I'm saying. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, my point was. The way this offense is now, they're not going to blow anybody out. So they've been blowing out the crappiest. I think that the teams that they've been playing, the quarterbacks, that's historic. As bad as these guys have been, some of these guys have either lost their position, starting position, or they're not even on the team.
Yeah, Falk is out of the, Jets.
Falk is not even on the Jets, and he started for them last time. So I think they are going to be, and that mentality that we had was not, hey, listen, we're going to put up. And it wasn't the 2007 Patriots. They haven't discovered how good they could be down the field. It was grind it out, get a lead. You'll win by 10, win by 11. Maybe you win by 21 every now and then. But we weren't blowing guys out of the water.
But in the last decade of the NFL, how many quote-unquote defensive teams have won Super Bowls? I can think of the 2015 Broncos and probably the 2013 Seahawks were more of a defensive team.
What about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
That was in 2002. I'm saying back then, 2002 or your 2003 Patriots, it was a more defensive game back then. You could be a dominant defensive team and win with ball control and running. It's such an explosive offensive game now.
Well, what about last year's
You have to
Patriots?
Be able to get to 27 points every
week.
What
about last year's Patriots team? Talking about taking on the Rams.
Well, they had a great defensive performance, but they were not a great defensive team. They had a singular great game, and Sean McVay got completely pantsed in the Super Bowl, but the Patriots' defense throughout the year was actually fairly inconsistent.
Well, I think you have to have some offense. I'm not sure you have to be what Kansas City is right now. I'm still not convinced with Baltimore yet, but we'll see them.
Yeah, but
Houston is the team right now. Houston.
But hold on.
No, we added them.
We did, but it's all the last couple weeks, and we do this all the time. We do this short little snippet. Who's been really good the last couple weeks? Is anybody ready to throw the towel in on Kansas City? And by the way, they may even lose tonight. They may even lose this game in Denver tonight. I'm not willing to throw the towel and say they're done.
No, they'll get healthy.
Exactly.
Again.
Yeah. But you do have coaching, and you look at that Rams game, and that was simply a game plan. You just brought it up. They had an unbelievable game plan. They used it to execution. The other guy was scared bleepless on the other sideline, and that's what happened. A 32, 33-year-old coach. And your defense won that game for you. So I agree with him in that I don't think this offense is really good. I don't think Tom Brady thinks it's really good, certainly what he's accustomed to.
Serviceable is what it is.
Serviceable, but can they still win? Yeah, they could still win this thing. It's just going to be really difficult, and they're going to win it in a different manner. Maybe more like what they did in 03, 04.
And if you think about teams making a run, you say Houston. Yeah, you can look at Houston's schedule and look who they lost to. Close losses. They never got blown out in a catch here, a block here. Maybe they're undefeated. But I feel like they've been battle-tested, and they've been hard, and I think they all realize that they're pretty good. And that was a statement win going into Kansas City, where they should have blown them out.
We've done this before with all the opportunities. Houston. That's all I'm saying.
So,
we've done this before.
Based on where the standings are now is the way I think it's going to end. I think the Patriots will be the number one seed. The Chiefs will probably be the number two, maybe three, depending on what Houston does. And the AFC. The NFC is a little bit more difficult to predict. They have a lot of good teams, but there's so many crappy teams, so many 2-4 teams, or you know, that are teams that you just know aren't making the playoffs. So as far as making a run, other than Houston, who else is there?
Well, having this two-game advantage already is huge, but all the teams are on their schedule. They still have to play Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City. So, you know, it's going to be decided on the field. We can't give them the number one seed yet. I agree with you. They certainly have a good head start, but doesn't this feel a little bit like 2010 when they went 14-2, but then they lost in the divisional round of the playoffs at home? Like, they were 14-2, but they had some flaws, and you know, maybe the way the regular season unfolded, it kind of masked some of their flaws. And I feel like that's
that loss. Who was that? Was that Baltimore?
Wasn't that the Jets?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the Jets. Okay.
So the problem, though, yeah, they had beaten the Jets like 52-6 or something in December and then played them a few weeks later.
Wow, with that defense?
Yeah.
A lot would have to go wrong.
Right. But I would say this, Ben, after Miami loss, and forget about the last play. I know it was a fluke play. They did not play well down in Miami. And then the next week you figure they're going to go to Pittsburgh. That team was right on the edge of falling out of the playoff scene, and you lose that game. I'm not sure a lot of people thought they could get it together and actually win this damn thing, right? You probably did.
It was a miraculous Super Bowl run last year, and I think you saw that in the celebration of Belichick and the coaches on the sideline when they won. Like, they couldn't believe that this team of all the teams they had, the 2018 team was not one of the best Patriots teams. And for them to be able to, you know, you always talk about, well, you need to hit your stride in December and, you know, figure out. They had no idea what their offense was going to look like going into the playoffs, and they remade it on the fly. And literally all the analysis around the Patriots offense, all the optimism this year is simply based on, well, they did it last year. And I think there are significant differences between last year and this year, mostly the injuries to the offensive line and losing James Devlin. Those are three key pieces, the center, the left tackle, and the fullback.
There's no question.
Three key pieces that they're not going to be without right now.
The tight end, you can't run on the outside right now. You're seeing it every single
week. I just don't – the offense just doesn't – like, is Ben Watson going to be a game changer?
No.
Like, what does he bring to the offense?
No,
what
you know
what
he's going to change? He's going to change the record book for the oldest receiver quarterback
combination.
He's going to change that. That's the one thing.
The happiest day was when he got cut, and the worst day is when they brought his ass back.
I would say this. The people that are protecting the wall right now are all pissed off that we're even having this conversation. I'm seeing it on social media. They're all pissed off. And again, I think they're right, Ben, in that this team has, because they do have Tom Brady, they do have Bill Belichick and the coaching staff, and they do have a great defense. There's no denying that this defense is incredible, that they can find a way to win the whole thing because they've done it before. Okay, so you can't just throw it out and say they can't do it. On the other hand, I don't understand why we don't want to have the conversation about how the hell they do it. You don't think the quarterback every day is not having the conversation with his friends of how the hell or other players on that team, how the hell we're going to get a passing game going against the Jets on Monday night? People forget Edelman went out an injury just before the half against the Jets, correct? And the offense struggled in the second half against the Jets. Am I correct with that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Back here in New England, now you're going to play down there in Jersey. I don't understand why we can't even have the conversation, because he's right. This offense is not good now, and they got to figure a way of making it good enough that the defense keeps that team under whatever that total is, that you can win these games.
Well, it's very negative.
Very negative.
It's not just a matter of, you know, hitting their stride or finding their identity. It's, you know, they've, like I said, significant holes. They have a backup at left tackle and center, your two most important positions on the line. James Devlin, the only time in the last 5 years they haven't made the Super Bowl was when Devlin was on IR in 2015. So I think that's a really important piece you're
He's
missing.
A much bigger loss than people think.
And they haven't done anything to replace Gronk, or very little, and they're just they're thin. They're thin at all the positions. So it's not just a matter of trying harder or practicing harder. They have significant issues.
Well, I agree. I still think they go all the way. I don't know. I think
no. I can't. But see, I can't rip you for that.
See, but you bring up.
I think there's a possibility.
Brings up 2010. You sit there and go. Ugh.
Yeah, but then you
miss. So I say,
bring up last year. Bring up last year.
What are you missing? What are you missing? Right. So if that's the case, so with all their deficiencies, with all their issues,
let me ask you this:
because I think the stats are misleading. I think the
offensive stats.
The offensive stats are misleading.
But what have we seen from this defense? While they are dominant and an unbelievable defense, they've given up a few of these big plays. 64 yards here. 60. What if they just Houston catches them on the right day? Deshaun Watson hits a. Two or three big plays. The Patriots offense fumbles the ball away once or twice. They can't get the run game. All it takes is one game in the playoffs. And this team, you'd like to see the offense operating much more efficiently.
I agree. You can't expect the defense to bail you out every single week.
Well, think about the third and tens. Think about the third and tens that Gronk had. Like it just
Amendola.
It just to kind of keep just drives alive and drives going. I mean, maybe someone steps up. I have no idea. I think that guy eventually who's going to add a lot of value is going to be N'Keal Harry. I'm not giving up on him. I think he's going to be a huge impact player in the next 8 weeks.
Before we let you go, do the Patriots make a deal and for what in the next 2 weeks here?
Yes, they make a trade. I do think it'll be for a receiver or tight end, but it's not going to be like A.J. Green or anyone significant. Maybe Sanu. I'll say Mohamed Sanu.
Everybody's going the Sanu route.
Yeah. It just seems obvious. He's a veteran guy making $6.5 million. The Falcons would probably love a draft pick, clear that money off the books. Sanu went to Rutgers.
That's right. That connection.
Oh, yeah.
And Luciano's gone, though.
Yeah, I love the Amendola idea, too, but I don't know if that's where Detroit is right now.
You stole that idea from Bedard.
Thank you, Greg.
You're stealing Bedard's information out there, all right? Stop stealing everybody else's material.
Well, then I got nothing left to talk about. That's what I do.
Ben, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
Thank you. Ben Volen, right here on from the Boston Globe, here on OMF this hour, being brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.